C-R-E-S-T-A? B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca. Tonight, the Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players present Rebecca, starring Joan Fontaine and Joseph Cotton. The Hollywood Players. Each week, a great star. Each week, a great story. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Cresta Blanca brings you the Hollywood Players, a group of Hollywood's greatest stars. Claudette Colbert, Joseph Cotton, Betty Davis, Joan Fontaine, John Garfield, Paulette Goddard, Gene Kelly, and Gregory Peck. Presented for your enjoyment by a great name in wine, Shenley's Cresta Blanca Wine. And for your enjoyment every day, Cresta Blanca presents a whole family of fine wines. Wines of every type for every taste. Every wine that bears the Cresta Blanca label is a superb wine, made from the choicest grapes, grown in Cresta Blanca's famed California vineyard. Each wine is carefully created for your pleasure by master winemakers. From the finest of the vines, Cresta Blanca wines. Now the Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players present Joan Fontaine and Joseph Cotton in Rebecca.
Last night I dreamt I went to Mandalay again. But in my dream it seemed to me that all was just as it once had been. The shining mullioned windows, the bright gardens, the velvet lawns sweeping in terrace after terrace to the sea. And then a cloud came up, and the illusion went with it. And I looked upon a desolate shell, with no whisper of the past about its staring walls. We can never go back again to Mandalay. That much is certain. But sometimes in my dreams I do go back to the strange days of my life which began for me in the south of France. It was there that I first saw him, standing at the very edge of a precipice, his agonized face staring down, his eyes watching the angry sea dashing itself against the rocks. It seemed to me in the first instant that I saw him that he was about to take a fatal step. I screamed. His head turned quickly. He came toward me with quick, angry strides.
What the devil are you staring at?
Nothing. Only I thought
that... Oh, you're English. What are you doing here?
Well, I was only walking.
Well, get on with your walking. Don't hang about here screaming.
That was my first meeting with Maxim. Maxim de Winter. I learned later that he had lost his wife the year before and that he had come to Monte Carlo to forget. The days that followed were all too short to contain the happiness I had never heretofore known. For they were gay, carefree days stolen from my employer, Mrs. Van Hopper, and spent in long drives and long walks with Maxim. And then it came to an end, for Mrs. Van Hopper decided suddenly to return to America. I could not bear the thought of leaving Maxim. But somehow I found the courage and the strength to tell him. I've come to say goodbye. We're going to New York.
Which would you prefer, New York or Mandalay?
Oh, please don't joke about it.
I'll repeat what I said. Van Hopper, or you come home to Mandalay with me.
You mean you want a secretary or something?
I'm asking you to marry me, you little fool.
Marry you?
Yes.
Oh, but...
If my suggestion doesn't go well, I'm sorry.
Oh, but you don't understand. It's that, well, I'm not the kind of person men marry.
What on earth do you mean?
Well, I don't belong to your sort of world, for one thing.
What is my sort of world?
Well, Mandalay, you know what I mean.
Well, I'm the best judge of whether you belong here or not. Of course, if you don't love me, that's the difference.
Oh, I do love you. I love you most dreadfully. I've been crying all night because I thought I'd never see you again.
All right, then. It's settled.
My heart leapt with joy. I was to be Mrs. De Winter. We were married almost immediately. And then came the day that Maxim took me home as the new mistress of Mandalay.
Here we are, darling. This is Matt.
I'm glad to see you're keeping well.
Thank you, Pris.
How do you do, madam?
Thank you.
And this is Frank Crawley. He manages things for me here.
Oh, how do you do?
I can't tell you how pleased I am for Maxim.
Thank you.
This is Mrs. Danvers.
How do you do, madam? I have everything
good of you, I'm sure. I didn't expect.
I think we'd like some tea, Pris.
It's ready.
Cup of hot tea first, then you can run up and change.
I have disposed of Madame's traveling suit. Do you wish me to help you put on this dinner frock, Madame?
Oh, please don't trouble. Yes, if you wouldn't mind, Alice.
Very good, Madame.
Oh, Maxim, come in. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Danvers.
Good evening, Madame. I hope you approve the new decorations of these rooms, madam.
Oh, I didn't know they'd been changed. I hope you haven't gone to too much trouble.
I only followed out Mr. De Winter's instructions. These rooms were never used much, except for occasional visitors.
Oh, then these weren't Mr. De Winter's rooms originally.
No, madam. He has never used the east wing before. As you can see, there is no view from the sea from here. The only good view of the sea is from the west wing. Mrs. De Winter's room...
Well, this is a very charming room, and I'm sure I shall be most comfortable.
If there is anything you want done, madam, you've only to tell me.
Thank you, Mrs. Danvers. I suppose you've been at Mandalay for many years, longer than anyone else.
Not so long as Frith. I came here when the first Mrs. De Winter was a bride.
Mrs. De Winter. Mrs. De Winter. I soon learned that name wasn't mine. It belonged to the first Mrs. De Winter, Rebecca. Everywhere I turned, there were the indelible imprints of Rebecca's continuing hold on Mandalay and on Maxim. Everything, everyone reminded me always of Rebecca. And most especially Mrs. Danvers. When I started for a stroll after breakfast, it was Mrs. Danvers who informed me.
Mrs. De Winter always did her correspondence right after breakfast.
When I made out the menus, it was Mrs. Danvers again who pointed out...
Mrs. De Winter was most particular about sauces.
When I started to light a fire in the library one morning, it was she who stopped me.
Mrs. De Winter never permitted the fire to be lighted in the library until afternoon.
Always Mrs. De Winter, the first Mrs. De Winter. Rebecca's monogrammed R was on the notepaper in the morning room. The name Rebecca engraved on the address book in her desk. Rebecca's initials on the glasses, dinner service, the silver. Everywhere Rebecca, Rebecca, Rebecca. Even Maxim changed with the passing weeks. And it seemed to me that a barrier arose between us. A barrier that could mean only one thing. Maxim still grieved for Rebecca. Maxim still loved Rebecca. He stopped me one morning as I was returning from a walk by the sea. I'd been down by the cove where there was a little dilapidated boathouse. Maxim's eyes burned with anger as he faced me on the pathway leading back to the house.
Where have you been?
I was just walking down by the sea.
Did you go to the cove?
Yes. Maxim, what is it? You look so angry.
I don't want you to go there.
Well, why not? It's only a cottage down there and I...
You didn't go into the cottage, did you?
Yes, the door...
Well, don't go there again. Do you hear?
Why not?
Because I hate the place. If you had my memories, you wouldn't go there or talk about it or even think about it.
Frank, what was the little cottage on the coast used for?
It was originally a boathouse, but Mrs. De Winter had it converted for her own use.
Her boat used to be moored near there.
Oh, was that the boat she was sailing when she was drowned?
Yes. It capsized and sank. She was washed overboard.
Where did they find her?
Near Edgecombe, 40 miles up channel, about 2 months afterwards. Maxim went up to identify her. It was horrible for him.
Frank, may I ask you just one more question?
Well, certainly.
What was Rebecca really like?
I suppose she was the most beautiful creature I ever saw in my life.
She was beautiful. Everyone loved her. She was still mistress of Manderley. I tried desperately, artlessly at times, I'm afraid, to win Maxim's brooding thoughts away from his memories. Oh, but it was all to no avail. Maxim either ignored me completely or smiled at me with the indulgence usually reserved for children. And as the time for the annual costume ball at Manderley drew near, I thought I saw my last chance, my last hope of winning Maxim away from his thoughts of Rebecca. And strangely enough, it was Mrs. Danvers who made the suggestion to me.
I thought that you might find a costume among the family portraits that would suit you.
Oh, you mean those at the top of the stairs?
Yes. There's one in particular. I've heard Mr. de Winter say it's his favorite of all the paintings. It's Lady Caroline de Winter, one of his ancestors. I'm sure you could have that dress copied.
Oh, why, that's a splendid idea, Mrs. Danvers. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful.
Silly things masquerade, eh, what, Maxim, old boy?
Yes, aren't they?
The guests are arriving, Maxim. Where's your sweet bride?
Probably putting the finishing touches to her costume. She's keeping a great secret, you know. Would he let me into her room?
Hello? Why, here she is now, coming down the stairs.
Why, good heavens.
Oh.
Good evening, Maxim.
What the devil do you think you're doing?
Why, it's the picture, the one in the gallery.
Go and take that off.
What is it? What have I done?
Rebecca wore the same costume at last year's ball.
Maxim's angry words crushed the last of my hopes. I turned and fled blindly up the stairs, hardly knowing where I was going. And just as I reached the top step, I saw a door closing to the west wing. It was the door to her room, Rebecca's room. And I knew who I'd find there. I walked to the door and opened it. Mrs. Danvers.
You didn't enjoy the ball, did you? I watched you go down, just as I watched her a year ago. Even in the same dress, you couldn't compare.
You knew it. You knew that she wore it, and yet you deliberately suggested that I wear it. Oh, why do you hate me? What have I ever done that you should hate me so?
You let him marry you. You tried to take her place.
I changed nothing. I left everything to you. Oh, but you set yourself against me from the first. Why couldn't you let us be happy?
He could never be happy. He still loves Rebecca.
Oh, it's not true. It's not true.
I've seen his face, his eyes. They're the same as those first weeks after she died. He's still thinking of her, suffering torture because he's lost her.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
You thought you could be Mrs. de Winter. Live in her house, walk in her steps, take the things that were hers. But she's too strong for you. You can't fight her. You, a young, ignorant girl. No one ever got the better of her, never. She was beaten in the end, but it wasn't a man, it wasn't a woman, it was the sea.
Oh, stop it, I tell you.
Oh, you're overwrought, madam. I'll open a window for you. A little fresh air will do you good. It's no use, is it? You'll never take her place. She'll always be the real Mrs. de Winter, not you. Why don't you go, leave Manderley? He doesn't need you. He's got his memories.
No.
He doesn't love you. He wants to be alone again with her. You've nothing to live for, really, have you? Come over here to the window. That's it. Look down there. It's easy, isn't it? Why don't you? Why don't you? You'd fall on the stone terrace below. It would be over so quickly. Go on. Go on. Don't be afraid.
It's a rocket.
It must be a ship in distress.
Maxim!
Come on, everybody, down to the bay. Ship ashore.
Oh, Maxim, Maxim!
Time you want to change just another party into a very special occasion, just open a bottle of Cresta Blanca champagne and see what a wonderful party it becomes. Cresta Blanca California champagne is bubbling gaiety in a glass. It's the wine of celebration. The wine that means music and laughter and dancing, filled with the joy of living. Cresta Blanca Champagne is a light, dry, sparkling wine created by bulk process by master winemakers. And you'll find that it has a delicate and superb flavor. It's delightful. Remember, whether it's a quiet dinner for two or a gay party for 20, if you want to make it a really special occasion, serve Cresta Blanca Champagne, wine from the finest of the vines. C-R-E-S-T-A, B-L-A-N-C-A, Cresta Blanca, Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca's Hollywood Players bring you the second act of Rebecca, starring Joan Fontaine and Joseph Cotton.
The remembrance of that night in the west wing of Mandalay will be with me always. The open window with the swirling fog below, the raging surf beating relentlessly against the breakwater in the little cove, and Mrs. Danvers urging me on, and then suddenly the sound of the rocket. The rest of that night is a blurred and confused memory. Voices coming through the fog. Men trampling down the flowers in the gardens. The incessant hooting of a boat whistle out at sea. Maxim didn't come back to the house all that night. I found him next morning in the little boathouse by the cove.
Hello.
Maxim, you haven't had any sleep.
Sleep?
What is it, Maxim? Something dreadful's happened. Aren't you going to tell me?
It's all over, my darling. The things happen. The thing I've dreaded day after day, night after night. I guess we're not meant for happiness, you and I.
What are you trying to tell me?
Rebecca has won.
What do you mean?
The ship went aground in the fog. They sent a diver down to inspect the hull. He found another boat.
Rebecca's boat?
Yes. The diver made another discovery. There was a body in that boat.
Then she wasn't alone.
No, you don't understand. It's Rebecca's body lying there on the cabin floor.
No, no.
And the woman washed up at Edgecombe. That wasn't Rebecca. I identified her, but I knew it was not Rebecca. I knew where Rebecca's body was because I put it there.
Maxim.
You see now, don't you? We weren't meant for happiness.
Oh, Maxim, why didn't you tell me this before?
I nearly did several times, but somehow you never seemed close enough.
Oh, how could we be close when I knew you were always thinking of Rebecca? When I knew all the time you loved Rebecca still.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's true, isn't it? All this time you loved Rebecca still.
Loved Rebecca? I hated her.
You hated her?
I never had a moment's happiness with her. She was incapable of love, of tenderness, or decency.
Oh, you didn't love her. You didn't
I
love
found
her.
Out about her 4 days after we were married. She laughed at me and told me all about herself, everything, things I'll never tell a living soul. And I wanted to kill her. But I made a bargain with her instead. She promised to play the part of the devoted wife and mistress of Mandalay. I agreed. I was younger then and tremendously conscious of the family honor. I don't understand it myself now. I don't see how you can.
Oh, of course I can, darling. Of course I can.
She kept the bargain for a while. Then she grew careless, There was a cousin of hers, a man named Favell, who used to visit her here in this cottage. I found out about it. One night when I thought they were here together, I came down to have it out with both of them. But she was alone. She smiled at me in a queer sort of way and said, "When I have a child," she said, "neither you nor anyone else can ever prove it wasn't yours. You'd like an heir, wouldn't you, Max, for your beloved Mandalay?" I suppose I went mad. I struck her. She stared at me for a moment, almost triumphantly. Then as she moved away laughing, she stumbled and fell. She struck her head on a piece of ship's tackle.
But you didn't kill her. It was an accident.
Who on earth would believe me? I lost my head. I carried her out to the boat and cast off. A safe distance from shore, I took a spike and drove it again and again through the planking of the hull. I opened the seacocks, climbed into the dinghy, and pulled away. I saw the boat keel over and sink.
Maxim, does anyone know of this?
No one except you and me.
We've got to explain it. You must simply say that you made a mistake about the other body.
There's the diver who examined the boat. He'll testify at the inquest.
Inquest?
Oh, there's bound to be one. Colonel Julian, the chief magistrate, told me he had no choice.
Oh, poor Maxim.
I've done a very selfish thing in marrying you, my darling. But I've always loved you. I shall always love you. But I've known all along that Rebecca would win in the end.
No, no, she hasn't won. Whatever happens now, she hasn't won.
I'm sorry to have the inquest drag along, sir, for your sake, Maxim, but it should be all over soon after this recess.
I'm glad you came along, Colonel Julian. Favell here has just offered me a proposition. A proposition involving the withholding of certain evidence from the inquest. A note written to him by Rebecca on the day she died.
I don't know what you mean.
Let's have it, Favell.
All right, Colonel. Read it. And see if you think that's the note from a woman who'd made up her mind to kill herself.
Maxim, do you think that's why?
Shh, shh. We have no choice.
Jack, darling, I have just seen the doctor, and I'm going down to Mandalay right away. I shall be at the cottage all this evening and shall leave the door open for you. I have something terribly important to tell you. I want to see you as soon as possible. Rebecca.
Now, Colonel Julian, as an officer of the law, don't you feel that there are some slight grounds for suspicion?
Of murder?
What else?
That's a serious accusation, Favell. Do you have any proof?
It just so happens that Mrs. Danvers accompanied me to the inquest.
Mrs. Danvers?
I think she will do as a witness. Danny, old girl, who was Rebecca's doctor in London?
Dr. Baker, 627 Gold Hawk Road, Shepherd's Bush.
There you are, Colonel. There's where you'll find your motive. Go question Dr. Baker. He'll tell you that Rebecca was going to have a child. She told Max about it. Max, who knew he wasn't the father. So, like the gentleman of the old school that he is, he killed her.
No!
I'm afraid we shall have to go to London and question this Dr. Baker.
Hear, hear.
I shall see the coroner and arrange for the inquest to be postponed, pending further evidence. Come along, Favell.
I'll go with you, Maxim.
You'd better go home, darling. I'll drive back before morning.
I'll be waiting for you.
Now, Dr. Baker, we are trying to discover certain facts concerning the late Mrs. De Winter's activities on the day she died, the 12th of October last year. I'd like you to tell me, if you can, whether anyone of that name paid you a visit on that date.
I can look it up in my engagement diary. One moment, please. Did you say the 12th of October?
Yes.
Here we are. Let's see now. Ross, Campbell, Stidall. Yes. Here's Mrs. De Winter for 3 o'clock.
What was the matter with her? Do you remember?
My dear sir, there are certain ethics...
Could you supply a reason, Dr. Baker, for Mrs. De Winter's possible suicide?
Her murder, you mean? She was going to have a child, wasn't she?
I assume that the
official... I assure you that we would not be troubling you if it were not necessary.
In that case, I think I am able to suggest a motive why Mrs. De Winter should have taken her life. She was very seriously ill.
She was not going to have a child?
That was what she thought, but my diagnosis was quite different.
What was wrong with her?
Cancer. There was nothing that could be done for her. She insisted that I tell her the truth.
Did she say anything when you told her?
She smiled in a queer sort of way. And when I told her it was a matter of months, she said, "Oh, no, Doctor, not that long."
You've been very kind, Dr. Baker, and you've told us all we need to know to confirm a verdict of suicide.
Well, practically home, Maxim.
Yes.
When you phoned her, did she say she'd wait up?
Yes, I told her to go to bed, but she wouldn't hear of it. It's the strangest thing, Frank, but I can't get over the feeling that something's wrong.
Oh, you're tired. Better...
But Frank, the sky, it's all red. That can't be dawn breaking.
No,
look,
no.
Frank, it's a fire. Good Lord, it's Mandalay. Darling, darling, are you all right?
Maxim, Mrs. Danvers, she's still in there. She started the fire. She must have gone completely mad. She told me she'd rather destroy Mandalay than see us happy there.
She's destroyed the past for us as well. Now we can forget it all, my darling. We can forget.
And so Mandalay is no more. We do not mind, for we are through with fears and loneliness, and the devil does not ride us anymore. No clash of thought or opinion makes a barrier between us, and both of us are free.
Henley's Casablanca Wine joins our audience here in Hollywood in applauding Joan Fontaine and Joseph Cotton for their performances in Rebecca. Our stars will be back in just a moment. These are the first days of fall, the pleasant season that mixes the summer past with the coming winter, a time for enjoyment and friendship. And when friends visit, honor them by serving the golden goodness of Cresta Blanca, California Palomino Sherry. Only from the finest grapes of the finest vines, only through the skill of master winemakers, can there come such a wine as Cresta Blanca Palomino Sherry. Naturally, you'll pay a little more for the finest, but you'll find that the difference in pleasure is far more than the difference in price. Sip, taste, compare. And you'll know why Cresta Blanca Palomino Sherry is America's finest. And now our stars, Miss Joan Fontaine and Mr. Joseph Cotton.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
And
Joan, it was wonderful acting in Rebecca with you on your first appearance with the Hollywood Players.
Oh, thank you, Joe. This dramatic story has been such a favorite with so many, I was delighted to do it tonight. And by the way, I note that on next week's agenda of Hollywood Players, John Garfield is slated to appear as the star of that very fine play, Golden Boy.
It's a fine part for John, and I know it'll be an exciting show. I, for one, will tune in. You too?
I certainly will. And so, good night, Joe.
Good night, Joanie.
Ladies and gentlemen, each Tuesday at this same time, you hear the Hollywood Players. Claudette Colbert, Joseph Cotton, Betty Davis, Joan Fontaine, John Garfield, Paulette Goddard, Gene Kelly, and Gregory Peck. Each week, a great star. Each week, a great story. This evening, you have heard Joan Fontaine and Joseph Cotton in a radio version of Rebecca, adapted from the screenplay of Daphne du Maurier's novel, as originally produced by David O. Selznick, and which is now returning to theaters throughout the country by popular demand. Joseph Cotton, who appears through the courtesy of Mr. Selznick, soon will be seen as one of the stars in the Technicolor production, Duel in the Sun. Miss Fontaine soon will be seen in the Paramount production, The Emperor Waltz. The musical score for tonight's performance was composed and conducted by Bernard Katz. Our story was adapted for radio by Axel Gruenberg. Don't forget, next week at this same time, when the Cresta Blanca Hollywood Players present John Garfield in Golden Boy. And remember, whenever you dine, dine with wine. And make it the best wine. C-R-E-S-T-A. B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca. Hollywood Players is a presentation of the Cresta Blanca Wine Company of Livermore, California, and came to you from Columbia's Playhouse in Hollywood. Frank Bingman speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.